We pray. Gracious Lord, we celebrate this Advent season that you have not only come into this world, but you have come into this very service, and you come into our very lives this day. Lord, we are grateful for the salvation that you have provided for us, a people desperate, a people in need of saving. Lord, may we remember this Advent season that not only have you come in the flesh through our Lord Jesus Christ, but that he will return again at the second and final Advent, the consummation of the ages. And he will separate those who have lived and died in faith from those who have lived and died rejecting his salvific work on their behalf. And for those who believe, Lord, we have a new heaven and a new earth that you have opened up to us through the shedding of your blood on the cross. And Lord, implant in us the hope of the resurrection of these bodies on that day when you return. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I knew a man who had three wonderful daughters. And this man missed and was absent from his first daughter's confirmation. But he assured his daughter that he was there in spirit. And as a pastor, that was a little hard to comprehend and ingest. So then the second daughter went through confirmation, and guess what? He was absent there also. And he told this daughter, just like he told his first daughter, that I was with you in what? Spirit. And not to outdo himself, his third daughter graduated from high school, and he was absent. And he said to the third daughter, as you might expect, I was with you in spirit. It might not shock you that I provided a lot of counseling and pastoral care to this family. What his daughters wanted was their dad to be present, not just in spirit, but also in body. They wanted all of their dad present with them at this moment in their life. Now, this dad would buy many gifts for his daughters, some pretty extravagant gifts, gifts that I know I couldn't afford to provide my daughter. But what it really boiled down to was this reality, is all of these gifts, no matter how exorbitant they were, none of those gifts healed the wounds caused by his absence in his daughter's life. It would plague him, it would plague his family, it would eventually break apart that family. You know, sometimes nothing beats being present. For some fathers, that's their only goal, is when they have a child, is to pledge to themselves that I desire to be present. I desire to be seen by my children. I desire not to just have this be present in spirit, but to be present wholly for my child. Well, as we turn our attention to this reading from Hebrews, the author of Hebrews makes a few things very clear that we need to understand if we are ever to really fully comprehend the coming of Christ and how that fits into the Old Testament. First is this: the sacrifices of the Old Testament were never sufficient for sin, nor did they ever deliver holiness to the Hebrew people. Second, the author of Hebrews wants to remind us that these sacrifices, though a shadow pointing to something greater to come, these sacrifices would never be sufficient for sinners. Had they been sufficient, then they would have been offered once for a person, and it would have been complete. But that wasn't the case. The people had to offer these sacrifices, in whom we would hear God was never really pleased, over and over and over again. And the third part that the author of Hebrews really wants us to know is that a body and blood would be necessary and would need to be present if there was ever going to be the complete and total forgiveness of the sinner, and if the sinner was ever to receive a holiness that was not his or her own. You see, the author of Hebrews doesn't focus what we always run to is Christ was obedient unto death. No, the author of Hebrews wants us to see where the inauguration of salvation begins, which is the second person of the Trinity's obedience unto incarnation. It's at the incarnation of my Lord and your Lord Jesus Christ that is the beginning of the end for the old system and for the old way by which God's people interacted with a holy God as sinners. It's also interesting to see that the author of Hebrews doesn't just quote Psalm 40. He actually puts the words of Psalm 40 in the mouth of Jesus Christ. And he says this from the mouth of Jesus, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then Jesus says, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." God the Father and Creator prepares a body for His Son. The Son willingly takes on this body. Scripture tells us in John 1, He tabernacles among us. He dwells in our midst. And He does all of this for one purpose, that He might fulfill the Father's will. Every single moment of every single day in your Lord and my Lord's life is to do nothing but fulfill the Father's will, which is in part to bring complete salvation to all humanity in all places. The birth of Jesus is the inauguration of a new era. This is what we need to think when we approach Christmas, is this is God coming down in the body to inaugurate a new era for all of the world. To do what the Old Testament people and sacrifices could never do. All of this ushered in His birth to the Virgin Mother, where Jesus comes not just in spirit, but also in body. To accomplish the forgiveness we need and to receive the holiness that we so desperately need and cannot generate of ourselves. The incarnation of Jesus is being obedient to save those who have not delighted in God's will or walked in God's ways. We can talk about the gospel in the birth of Jesus Christ, becoming man, taking on flesh, joining humanity in body. He is present, not absent, for you and for me. And when you think about it, this is pretty incredible. He walks on the earth where others walked. He speaks and uses words that others have used. He sees things with his own eyes that others have also seen. He heard with his own ears the songs that he placed in the birds' hearts that they sing and that you and I hear each and every day. Your God came down, saw, heard, spoke these things just as you or I would experience. How many of you have gone to Israel? Some of you, I've never been there, but for those of you who have gone, you've seen things with your eyes that the Lord Jesus has seen. The firmament below his feet that held him up is the same that holds you up when you walk those ancient sacred paths of your Savior. The Jordan River that Jesus stepped into to bear the sins of the world and to receive your sin and mine upon his shoulders. That very river you yourself can also step into. Just don't get rebaptized, okay? Your first one took. Well, for most of you it did. You can go and you can see the foundations of the temple. The temple that his body replaced. You can touch those stones. You can take pictures by those stones. You can pray by those stones. The Savior was obedient unto his incarnation in the world, just as he would be obedient to the Father's will his entire earthly life, just as he would also be obedient unto death, where the Father said, "Finally, there is a sacrifice that I am pleased with, a sacrifice that I will receive on behalf of sinners that they might be forgiven, a sacrifice that needs not be repeated over and over again because of its one-time, all-time sufficiency for you and for me." The birth of Jesus is the inauguration of a new era where your Lord and mine made new realities possible for a fallen humanity. The incarnation is Jesus being obedient to save those who have not delighted in his will, just as he has saved you and I. And this sacrifice on the cross, just as Pastor Bray had mentioned, reminds us that one thing is now completely replaced by another. We don't look to animal sacrifices to find our salvation. We don't look to them to find the mercy that we need for our sins. We turn our eyes only and always to Christ crucified, whose death is sufficient for all time, all people, all sins, and all disobedience. And his resurrection in body is the installment on your and my bodily resurrection also. Because he rose, we too, who are in Christ, will also rise to a new heaven, to a new earth, to a new era that in some ways is similar to this world, but in other ways different, but different in the most remarkable of ways. So here we are today, December 22nd, 2024, caught between the first advent of our Lord Jesus and his incarnation and the second advent of our Lord Jesus when he will return in spirit and in what? Body. So that you and I, resurrected and glorified by his blood, will walk where he walks, as he does with us as well. With your eyes, you will see him. With your ears, you will hear what comes out of his mouth. You will be with him in body. Now, just because our Lord Jesus has ascended, you and I also know that this does not mean that he is only now with us in spirit. When you and I come to this altar, the sacrament of the altar, your Savior promises in the bread and the wine to be present not just in spirit, but also what? In body. For you. That we might be forgiven, that we might be cleansed, that we might be saved, that we might be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And here's what I hope is always said of you and me in the community of OSL, and that's this: where Jesus is present in this meal, there I will be also, in spirit and in body. Virtual worship cannot deliver that gift. But to be here in your own flesh and blood, well then, you can receive his flesh and blood. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, some of us have celebrated more Christmases than others. And Lord, the more Christmases we celebrate, we would hope the more meaningful they become. That the mystery of what was hidden and then revealed is not lost on us. But you descended and you came down. And you were born to a virgin mother in the town of Bethlehem, a city of David, for all of us. And Lord, in this Advent season also, through the power and work of your gifts and your Spirit, help us to long for and anticipate and look forward to your second coming in body and spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.